భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే నష్టప్రాయేష్ భద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవత్యుత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికీ.
రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం ఫోర్త్ క్యాంటో 29th చాప్టర్ టెక్స్ట్ నెంబర్ 18-20.
దేహో రతస్త్వింద్రియా ఇంద్రియాశ్వః.
Should I read it? Only 20 is here? Last one, okay. I will read the other two verses, 18 and 19, and then I will read the 20th one.
దేహో రతస్త్వింద్రియాశ్వః సంవత్సరో రయో గతిః ద్వికర్మ చక్రః త్రిగుణః ద్వజః పంచాశు బంధురః మనోరశ్మిర్బుద్ధి సూతో హృన్నీడో ద్వంద్వకూబరః పంచేంద్రియార్థ ప్రక్షేపః సప్తధాతు వరూతకః.
అండ్ వి కమ్ టు దిస్ వర్స్.
ఆకృతిర్విక్రమో బ్రహ్మో ఆకృతిర్విక్రమో బాహ్యో మృగతృష్ణాం ప్రధావతి ఏకాదశేంద్రియ చమూః పంచసూనా వినోదకృత్ ఆకృతిర్విక్రమో బాహ్యో మృగతృష్ణాం ప్రధావతి ఏకాదశేంద్రియ చమూః పంచసూనా వినోదకృత్ ఆకృతిర్విక్రమో బాహ్యో మృగతృష్ణాం ప్రధావతి ఏకాదశేంద్రియ చమూః పంచసూనా వినోదకృత్. ఆదిశేంద్రియ చమూః
వైష్ణవీస్
విక్రమాబాహ్యో ఆకృతి విక్రమ దేహ బాడీ రథ చారియట్ టూ బట్ ఇంద్రియ నాలెడ్జ్ అక్వైరింగ్ సెన్సెస్ అశ్వ ద హార్సెస్ సంవత్సర టోటల్ ఇయర్స్ రయ డ్యూరేషన్ ఆఫ్ లైఫ్ అగతి విదౌట్ అడ్వాన్సింగ్ ద్వి టూ కర్మ యాక్టివిటీస్ చక్ర వీల్స్ త్రీ గుణ మోడ్స్ ఆఫ్ నేచర్ ధ్వజ ఫ్లాగ్స్ పంచ ఫైవ్ అసు లైఫ్ ఎయిర్స్ బంధుర బాండేజ్ మన ద మైండ్ రశ్మి rope buddhi intelligence sutah chariot driver hrit heart needah sitting place dvandva duality kubarah the posts for the harness pancha five indriya artha sense objects prakshepah weapons సప్త సెవెన్ ధాతు ఎలిమెంట్స్ వరుతక కవరింగ్స్ ఆకృతి అటెంప్ట్స్ ఆఫ్ ద ఫైవ్ వర్కింగ్ సెన్సెస్ విక్రమ ప్రవెస్ ఆర్ ప్రాసెసెస్ బాహ్య ఎక్స్టర్నల్ మృగతృష్ణా ఫాల్స్ ఆస్పిరేషన్ ప్రధావతి runs after ekadasha 11 indriya senses chamoh soldiers pancha 5 suna envy vinoda pleasure krit doing translation purport by his divine grace as Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Narada Muni continued What I referred to as the chariot was in actuality the body. The senses are the horses that pull that chariot. As time passes, year after year, these horses run without obstruction. But in fact, they make no progress. Pious and impious activities are the two wheels of the chariot. The three modes of material nature are the chariot's flags. The five types of life air constitute the living entity's bondage, and the mind is considered to be the rope. Intelligence is the chariot driver. The heart is the sitting place in the chariot, and the dualities of life, such as pleasure and pain, are the knotting place. The seven elements are the coverings of the chariot, and the working senses are the five external processes. The 11 senses are the soldiers. Being engrossed in sense enjoyment, the living entity seated on the chariot hankers after fulfillment of his false desires and runs after sense enjoyment life after life. Purport. The entanglement of the living entity in sense enjoyment is very nicely explained in these verses. The word samvatsara, meaning the progress of time, is significant. Day after day, week after week, fortnight after fortnight, month after month, year after year, the living entity becomes entangled in the chariot's progress. The chariot rests on two wheels, which are pious and impious activities. The living entity attains a certain position in life in a particular type of body according to his pious and impious activities. But his transmigration into different bodies should not be taken as progress. Real progress is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Tyaktva deham punarjanmanayati. One makes real progress when he does not have to take on another material body.
as stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Eta brahmanda bhari ananta jiva gana chaurashi laksha yonite kareye brahmana.
The living entity is wandering throughout the entire universe and taking birth in different species on different planets. Thus he moves up and down, but that is not real progress. Real progress is getting out of this material world altogether. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Abrahma bhuvana loka punaravartino arjuna mamupetya dukaunteya punarjanmana vidyate.
From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place.
But one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. Even if one is promoted to Brahmaloka, the highest planet in the universe, he has to come down again to the lower planetary systems. Thus he is wandering up and down perpetually under the influence of the three modes of material nature. Being illusioned, he thinks he is making progress. He is like an airplane encircling the earth day and night, incapable of leaving the earth's gravitational field. Factually, there is no progress because the airplane is conditioned by the earth's gravity. Just as a king is seated on a chariot, the living entity is seated in the body. The sitting place is the heart. The living entity sits there and engages in the struggle for existence, which goes on without progress perpetually. In the words of Narottama Das Thakur, Karmakanda Jnanakanda Kevala Vishera Bhanda Amrita Baliya Eva Khaya Nana Yoni Sadafire Kadariya Bhakshana Kare Tara Janma Adaha Pateyai.
The living entity struggles very hard due to the influence of fruitive activity and mental speculation, and simply gets a different type of body life after life. He eats all kinds of nonsense and is condemned by his activities of sense enjoyment. If one really wants to progress in life, he must give up the ways of karmakanda and jnanakanda, fruitive activities and mental speculation. Being fixed in Krishna consciousness, one can become free from the entanglement of birth and death and the vain struggle for existence. In these verses, the words mrigatrishnam pradhavati are very significant because the living entity is influenced by a thirst for sense enjoyment. He is like a deer that goes to the desert to search out water. In a desert, an animal simply searches in vain for water. Of course, there is no water in the desert, and the animal simply sacrifices his life in an attempt to find it. Everyone is planning for future happiness, thinking that somehow or other, if he can reach a certain point, he will be happy. In actuality, however, when he comes to that point, he sees that there is no happiness. He then plans to go further and further to another point. This is called mrigatrishna, and its basis is sense enjoyment in this material world. Om ajnanata mirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshuh unmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Namavom Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Dhanamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschate Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Right at the outset, I would like to take the blessings of all the devotees assembled here to say something meaningful for the benefit of myself and others. I feel greatly blessed to be in this wonderful LA temple, about which I have read in several books before, since Prabhupada's time. I am visiting US for the first time, and I would request all of you to bless me in my little devotional endeavor in making progress in Krishna consciousness. Because this temple
since the early days has produced so many devotees in Prabhupada's time and also in the subsequent times, and is a wonderful example and model for so many temples worldwide. In this purport and in this verse we are hearing about the living entities' unlimited desires, because of which the living entity chases after the mirage of illusory pleasure. Our desires can be compared to stars in the sky. There are so many unlimited desires. Unlimited, unfulfilled desires. When there are unfulfilled desires, there is agitation of the mind. So when there is agitation of the mind, then naturally the living entity tries to makes a very hard effort to fulfill those desires. That is why we find in this world the endeavor of the living being in fulfilling the desires manifests in various ways. For example, the living entity feels inadequacy and insecurity, both. In order to compensate for the inadequacy, he feels acquisition and possession of the objects of this world will solve the problem of inadequacy. That is his conviction. So he goes on acquiring various objects of the world, accumulating them, and increasing the amount of possession. This is the reason sometimes you find people, like I saw in a house, there were about 25 teddy bears, all of different sizes. Because people also buy toys and they also gift toys to others. People increase their possession and people like to increase the possession of others. And then the house becomes small, so we have to go for a bigger house. And then you go for a bigger house and then even more bigger house. And then they have to have a big godown in the house to keep things which they don't need, but which they accumulated. In this way, the living entity thinks that by acquiring maintaining things, I'll become happy. Besides that, when we acquire the objects of this world, that also require maintenance. And the maintenance follows time. And when maintenance follows time, then there is no time for Krishna. This is how the things of this world gradually cheat us when we possess them more and more. Besides that, the insecurity which the living entity feels, how does he compensate for it? He feels that I should have the contact of big people. Because by posting myself next to them and clicking a photograph, then I will also be considered very important. Like people do with actors and actresses and stars. People like to take photograph with them. Sometimes the actor or actress may not even know that somebody is standing next to them. But they click a photograph and they show it to everyone. Because the living entity feels that I will feel more secure by attaching myself to. This is called as pride of association. So he wants to solve his problem of insecurity. So attraction for big people and attraction for more and more possessions. And such a living entity also tries to satisfy his false ego. How? By increasing the my aspect. I and mine, as we say. For example, increasing one's position and name and fame and relatives and family circle to be surrounded by aristocratic people. Then one feels that such positions may offer me satisfaction. Higher and higher positions. Like false ego makes one think, I was the first one to do this. No one has done this. Or I am the only one who can do this. No one else can do it. Or I am the only one to expertly do it. No one can so expertly do it. All these are aspects of false ego. So this kind of false ego gives satisfaction to the living entity also. So we were talking about people, we are talking about possessions, we are talking about positions. Then there is also the pleasures and comforts that the living entity seeks in this world to satisfy the unlimited desires. For example, the pleasures of the five senses, to see beautiful forms, to smell fragrant substances, to hear sweet sounds, touch soft objects, and eat palatable dishes. So for each of these senses, there is a hankering, great hankering. And the living being chases after the objects of the world with each of these five senses to accept the pleasures. And for doing all these things, the living entity wants penny, money. So that because with money you can purchase sense gratification. So these are the five P's that pinch us. Penny, pleasure, possession, position and people. All these five things, they pinch the living entity. The living entity suffers a lot in this world. Now one may be wanting to know, what happens to the living entity who chases after these things? Does he become satisfied? No. Even after chasing after all these things, the living being never becomes satisfied. Why? Because in this world, the objects are not perfect. All the objects have some deficiency. That is how Mayadevi has created the objects in this world. They look very attractive, very catchy for the living being, just like a moth becomes attracted to a fire, like that. But the objects cannot satisfy the living being in this world. Because they have been created with inherent deficiencies in them. That's how they are created. So, just like for example, human beings, we have four defects. So many scientists are not even aware that we have these four defects. So in the same manner, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in this world every work is tainted by some fault. Just like there is smoke associated with fire always. In the same manner, from a distance everything looks attractive. When one comes nearby, then one finds the fault. For example, the naphthalene balls, they look very attractive. When I was a small boy, my father brought some naphthalene balls from the market. So I immediately opened the packet and I wanted to eat one, thinking that it is some peppermint or some chocolate. So because it was glowing white and it was also smelling nice, so my mother snatched it away from my hands and said, if you eat it, you will die. It is poison. In the same manner, Maya offers many attractive objects for the living entity. And when the living being chases after that and tries to enjoy it, it's actually more dangerous than poison for the living being. But the living being feels that if I get more of something, then I'll become happy. Because now I have less. If I get more of it, I'll be happy. Like someone feels, if I get more money someday, then I'll become peaceful in life. This is another type of illusion. If I get more of something, keep on getting more and more of it, I'll be happy. And then, when he gets more and more of it, if he doesn't become happy, he feels, maybe if I get something better, then I'll be happy. Say for example, somebody comes to know that there is a new model car available in the market, then people immediately feel, I must have it. Because before my friends buy it, I should buy it. So they go to the market and buy that new model car. And then by the time you place the order and get the car, another model comes up. Isn't it? And that model has better looks and more facilities. Then one feels that, oh, I made a mistake. Now I have to get that new car, which has a more better look and more facilities. In this way, this is another trick employed by the industries to keep on changing the model slightly, so they can keep on selling the product. Because they know the tendency of the living entity, the weaknesses. So they attack that zone of weakness and they keep on changing model. How many models of iPods, how many models of cars, how many models of mobiles, how many models we all have used. And people keep on updating, giving the old one to somebody else, and then, so if a father gets a mobile, he will give it to the wife and he will give it to the son, daughter, and he'll keep on buying. And that way, people keep buying things. So, in this way we feel, if I get something better, then I'll be happy. But we can confidently say that in this world, any object you possess, there will always be another object better than that object. Always.
And if there is none, very soon one will come. You have to just wait and see. That is the way the world is created. Because this is a world of duality also. We will find there will be sometimes one object which looks attractive. This world is a relative world because of which all the objects are relative to one another. No object can permanently be the best in this world. Say for example, Miss Universe. In that particular year might have got an award. But after 5 years she cannot be Miss Universe. It becomes somebody else. Why? Old order changed, yielding place to new. As Mert, the author, said, the old things will come to pass and the new things will replace them. That is the way Krishna has created this world. There will always be better objects. So, because of this, the living being chases after better and better objects. Okay, I am not happy with this. Let me try a better one. Then next one. So he keeps on weighing. Which is better? This is better or this is better? This is better? Okay, leave this. We'll go for this. Then after some time, something better than this comes. In this way, he wants more and he wants better also. And even after getting more and better, still the living being will not be satisfied. Manorathena sadidhavato bahir. It is said, manorathena, climbing on the chariot of the mind, the living entity wanders everywhere. Bahir means in the external world. And his chase after this mirage never ends. And in fact, anyone who tries to feed the desires in this world will gradually find that the very same desires they are trying to feed will attack them even more and more. And they will suffer more. And the hankering will increase. In this way, the living entity suffers terribly. Because the objects of the world can never satisfy the living entity. That is why in Bhagavad Gita we find many verses. Last verse of the second chapter, if you see. Vihaya kaman jasarvan pumam charati nisprahah nirmamo nirahankarah sashanti madigachati. And Krishna says, Vihaya kaman jasarvan, when the living entity gives up all his desires, he says, pumam charati nisprahah, when the living entity walks, charati nisprahah, with no desires, when he gives up the chase after this mirage, then what happens? Sashanti madigachati. Then he attains the shanti. So, generally we think, if I get the objects, then I'll become happy. And indeed, we all have experience, if we get the object of our hankering, we do become satisfied. Say, for example, I have been, say, hankering to get a computer, for example. And if somebody gives me a new computer, nicely packed in a box, on my birthday, and then I open the gift pack and I take out the computer, and then I feel great joy, like, or somebody gets a new car, they get the fragrance of the new car, they feel so much joy, oh, after a long time I got a car. But then, how long that pleasure of possessing that object lasts with us? If you see carefully, it doesn't last long. Before possessing it, we feel great hankering. Immediately after possessing it, we feel some satisfaction. But after that, we are looking elsewhere for a better object. We can see that. So, the Shastra say that the satisfaction that comes by possessing an object is not the satisfaction that comes by possessing. It comes because of the cessation of the mind. Because the mind is oscillating in want of the objects of the world. And when we get that object, immediately the mind comes to a halt. That halting of the mind gives us happiness. But then, because the objects of the world cannot satisfy us, because they have deficiencies, again the mind starts oscillating for a better object. That is why this halting of the mind, the shanti of this material world is not a naishtiki shanti. There are two types of shanti. Anaishtiki shanti and naishtiki shanti. Yukta karma phalam tyaktva shanti mapnoti naishtikim ayukta karaka ayukta karma karena phale satto nibadyate. Krishna says, shanti mapnoti naishtikim. Those who give up the fruitive mentality, he says, will get naishtiki shanti, he says. Everlasting peace. Like that verse says, apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudramapah pravishanti yadvat
Tadvat kamayam pravishanti sarve sashanti mapnoti na kama kami. That is also naishtiki shanti. Sashanti mapnoti. They get everlasting peace. When? Only on a spiritual platform. Not on a material platform. On the material platform, the shanti we get is very short-lived. Again, the chase starts. So in the modern times, people suffer from hyperactivity of the mind. Why? Because too many thoughts are racing in the mind. Because they are chasing after these five P's. Here and there. And they have no knowledge of the spirituality. So people terribly suffer in the modern times. Some people even go for committing suicide because of uncontrolled mind. So, uncontrolled desires. It is said the desires, they multiply in geometric progression. While our ability to fulfill them multiplies only in arithmetic progression. There is a mismatch. There is a big mismatch. Unlimited desires and limited ability to fulfill them. So, unless one knows the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, one cannot survive peacefully. So, as Prabhupada explains here, why it is mirage, the objects of this world cannot satisfy us because they are perverted reflection or imitation of the objects in the spiritual world. Recently I was reading some time ago, the conversation between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur says, in the spiritual world, the name, form, qualities, pastimes and activities of the Lord are all one, he says. Which we have often heard. Krishna's name and Krishna are non-different. What does that mean? Like there is a song which we sing, one Vallabhacharya's song. Adharam madhuram, like that it goes on. Vadanam madhuram, hasitam madhuram, and then gamanam madhuram, chalitam madhuram, madhuradipate akilam madhuram. He says like that. He says, Krishna's name is beautiful, Krishna's form is beautiful, Krishna's walking is beautiful, Krishna's smiling is beautiful. Krishna is simply a whole embodiment of sweetness. This is Krishna. So Krishna's name is sweet and Krishna's form is also sweet and Krishna's qualities are sweet and Krishna's pastimes are sweet also. Whereas in this world, Haridas Thakur tells Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in this world, when you see somebody's name is sweet, but their form is not sweet looking. Or somebody's form is very beautiful, often we commit a blunder. When we see somebody with a beautiful form, we assume that they must be having good qualities. But often we find they lack qualities. They lack good qualities or character. Or somebody may have good character and qualities, but they may not look beautiful. Like Ashtavakra was a very wise person, but he was not beautiful. You find that. So, all these are all separated in this material world. That is why they cannot satisfy us, because all objects have deficiencies. They have one quality and another deficiency, like this. So, when will the mind become completely peaceful and happy? When we get the spiritual object. That is why we chant the holy names every day. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. When we chant the holy names of the Lord, Lord is immediately present. How? Like Draupadi was calling the Lord in Hastinapur, and Lord was in Dwaraka, and then he immediately gave unlimited sari to her. Which means, the Lord's name acts as a medium by which one can immediately be connected to the Lord. In the material world, we have a material medium like a mobile to connect to someone far away. In the spiritual realm, the Lord has come as the holy name. By chanting the holy name, one gets immediately connected to the Lord. Prabhupada says, Kunti Maharani in the presence of Akrura was weeping loudly, calling, Hey Krishna, Hey Govinda. And she was speaking to Krishna. But Prabhupada says, it is not considered foolishness or craziness if someone speaks to Krishna, even when Krishna is not present right in front of them. Because one can't speak like that to Krishna. You cannot speak to anyone else like that. If your dear relative is not nearby, if you are talking to yourself, people will call you crazy. But we can talk to Krishna like that. Why? Krishna is present everywhere. And his ears are everywhere. Sarvata shrutiman loke. Sarva mahabrati tishtati. So, by chanting the holy name, we will attain the spiritual object, which is Krishna. And Krishna will never die, and we will never die. Our sweet relationship will never die. And when we attain that, then the real, that is the end of the chase after mirage. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Tantra Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki,
Thank you very much. Any questions? Yes, Madhya.
Thank you so much for a great class. You mentioned that there are people who have great character, but they don't look so good, and there are people that are beautiful that don't have so much goodness inside, and yet in the Shastras it says, if you perform pious activities, you will become beautiful in your next life. Mm. Is that always the case? Because I know people that have probably sold their souls for money and power and even beauty. And I'm just wondering if there are any examples in the Shastras that point to something different than doing pious activities to attain beauty, wealth, fame, things like that.
Like, for example, Nalakur Manigrive, they were very beautiful. But you see them doing activities which doesn't befit them, you know, to be born in such a good family, being sons of Kuvera. The Shastras say that Purva Janma Arjita Punyam Agre Dhavati Dhavati. Prabhupada quotes it in one purport. Purva Janma Arjita Punyam means whatever good activities they have done in the past, they get accordingly the body in the next life. So they got a beautiful body by dint of their previous good activities. But after obtaining beautiful body, or great wealth, or good education, all these things, how one will use it, that is not destined. Destiny will only determine your wealth, your education, your beauty, all these things. Destiny doesn't control us, how we will use them. So Nalakur Manigrive misused it, and they had to bear the consequences. So some people ask, does destiny control everything? No, destiny doesn't control everything. Our duration of life, our quantum of pleasure and pain, these are destined. But not how we are going to act, that is not destined. So, as you rightly said, we find sometimes people who are beautiful and indulging in such atrocious activities, and we really wonder, could they have done some piety at all in the previous life? Yes, they did do some piety, otherwise they would not have obtained such a body. We find rich kids misusing the wealth of their father nowadays. Huh? So those rich kids must have done some good activity in the past, surely. Yeah. Yes, Prabhu?
Thank you for a wonderful class. Thank you. We're talking about the senses and the body and the mind. And you were saying how everything is so temporary in the enjoyment, and we want more. It almost seems like that's what we're composed of. In other words, you know, if you have a certain instrument that you use, it has a purpose. So you like a knife, you cut with it. Okay, what you're going to cut, that's one thing. But that's the purpose of a knife, for cutting, not to use it for some other purpose.
Yeah.
You know? Not for painting. It's for cutting.
Yeah.
So you very nicely described how the body, it has all these senses. And really the body and the mind are screaming out to be used properly, to enjoy. I mean, you know, you explain how you want this and you want that. So it's very, it almost seems like it's counterproductive to do something else. For instance, you know, they may suffer because they're wanting something, but there may be some happiness there, as temporarily as you said, but there is some happiness. And they expect some suffering, like a person that's got a computer. You know, the excitement is, well, let me buy as many computers as I can buy. Mm. You know, one after another. Or let me buy as many cars as I can buy. Mm. You can't buy any and you're suffering. Mm. I'm buying the cars. If I get tired of it, I get rid of it, buy another one.
Yeah.
So I'm enjoying. I don't know what you're talking about. Mm. And it almost seems as a devotee, you're always suffering. Mm. You can't get a car. All you can do is look at one and wish you had one. A lot of devotees can't even get a computer.
Yeah.
Some have such bad health they can't even eat. And some senses are screaming out so loud, but they can't get any satisfaction. It's not like you can have a girlfriend and boyfriend. So, you know, we just say, okay, just, you know, like, to use American slang, we say, well, just suck it up, Prabhu. You know, what are you, you know, just chant Hare Krishna and go on with your life. You know, what are you, don't be a wimp. And so a devotee, it seems like, is always suffering. And they're chanting Hare Krishna, whereas karmis, they're just like having a party.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, when we look around, it certainly appears that the karmis are far more happier than devotees. One of the reason is, like, you know, they may sleep at 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock, but they get up at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock in the morning. They have a good sleep. But devotees sleep at 12 o'clock and get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. So because of that, but they're suffering for Krishna. So, and also besides that, it is true that because the materialistic people wanted to enjoy material pleasure, they are endowed with a body with which they are enjoying material pleasures for some period of time. This is a trick of Maya that they enjoy for some period of time. And it's only a matter of time that the instruments become worn out. Because the material instruments, like Nachiketas asked Yamaraj, when Yamaraj told him, I'll give you fair maidens, I'll give you horses, chariot, I'll give you elephants, I'll give you gold and silver. And Nachiketas considered for a while and said, my dear Yama, all these pleasures will pass away over a period of time. And they will weaken the power of our senses. And with you in sight, can someone really enjoy in this world? He asked Yamaraj like that. So, it's only a matter of time. Generally, if a person is in a mood, like for example, in my college, a boy, after the examination results, he drank very heavily. And he was lying in the gutter. It was one leg inside, one leg outside. And he was screaming, catching the liver. So, all the boys were passing by. So, I went to help him out. So, I pulled him out of the gutter. And then he was still screaming. Then I asked him, hey, why are you suffering like this in the gutter? Why did you drink so much? Immediately his ego was hurt. He said, who is it I am suffering? He was saying like that. So although he didn't admit that he was suffering, he was indeed suffering. Everyone could see that. The whole world is seeing it. Those people who claim they are not suffering, they are suffering. They are living life full of tension always. So it's not a question of whether we can, you know, externally prove to them. Time will tell and they will also eventually realize. A person in goodness can see people in passion and ignorance suffering. But a person who is in passion and ignorance, they cannot see that they are suffering. That is why spiritual life takes some amount of goodness to understand how, what is suffering and what is not. As far as, like for example, when a person is undergoing a pleasant sense of excitement, when he is passionately, you know, engaged in ambitious activities of the material world. When you see that, he feels some kind of joy. But a devotee can clearly see what is goodness, passion and ignorance. The passionate zeal that one gets will also burn him out over a period of time. Like if you read, there are many management books in which they say many managers get a sudden heart attack and die on the spot. They get Kuroshi disease, like in Japan for example. Why? Because they get a pleasant sense of excitement in doing such things, but suddenly the results come back over a period of time. And as far as devotees are concerned, many devotees, as you said, may have problem of indigestion and everything. But if you look back, some devotees have also overeaten. As Prabhupada says in Nectar of Instruction, if you see, you know, those people who have stomach disorders, you know, at one time must have, you know, overeaten, he says. Actually, many devotees have experienced, before becoming devotees, they were eating moderately. I have seen many karmis taking a small box, you know, very little food they take in the afternoon lunch. In India, at least, I have seen that. But devotees sometimes eat sabji like rice. They eat too much. So, and also sweets. Devotees have been eating too much of sweets in uncontrollable fashion. And then it comes back, you know, later also in the form of health problem. Another thing, wherever I travel around, I get to see devotees work so hard, like, you know, in book distribution or whether it be preaching, they go always late night. like 11 o'clock or 11:30, and then next day morning they'll be sleeping and chanting, or next day morning they won't get up for the Mangalarti and everything. So I find that many devotees struggling with their life. Then when I thought about it some years ago, I felt that the whole world is our audience, you know. But our resource is limited. Are we going to tear ourselves into pieces and throw to everyone? If we really want to do good service to the people, we have to know how much is my capability, how much is my capacity. We have to make some time management plan for the devotees. So in Pune, we made a sadhana card. We told the devotees, you have to sleep at 10 o'clock. 9:45 is the time they have to sleep. And they get up at 3:15 or 3:30 in the morning. And till 9:45, whatever best paropakar you can do for the world, you do. That's all. After that, you take rest. So if we see that the devotees get good rest and they are getting good nourishing foods, like for example, fried items. In those days in our ashram, every day there was fried sabji. Later on, we made a policy, fried sabji only once in 15 days or once in a month. If you want to see devotees having good health. Prabhupada had a conversation with one devotee where this talk is going on. Prabhupada is saying, the devotee may also suffer, but there is a big difference between a devotee suffering and a non-devotee suffering. Because, for example, if a devotee stops committing sinful activities, so there is no suffering for the devotee in the future. And the past reactions are coming to a devotee now. And what Krishna does is, he takes the past karma and gives it to a devotee to help him get purified. He can use it in a way by which, for example, so I have an unhealthy body now, for example, then it stops me from gratifying my senses. Is that not an advantage? Isvaranath Rana Swami Maharaj was telling, when I went to his room, I was asking about his health. He said it is better to have an unhealthy body and think of Krishna than to have a body like Nalakur Manigriva and indulge in wrong activities. He said, which is better? We have to see from a long-term point of view. Because if I have a hale and healthy body, I may indulge in sins and accrue a lot of reactions for the future. That is better, have an unhealthy body and keep screaming for Krishna always. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. And this is the last body for a devotee. If a devotee becomes a pure devotee, he goes back to Godhead. Or at least, we will become a worm in the house of a devotee. We will not be deprived of prasad. Shri Prabhupada ki? Thank you very much.